Super Friends, did you know that Jon Stewart, before the year of 2001, was actually only known as an architect and a Green Lantern, not a Marine and a Green Lantern? That was actually changed by Justice League Unlimited. And that's something that you can learn in my new book, Super Soldiers, A Salute to the Comic Book Heroes and Villains Who Fought for Their Country. If you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy us going deep dives into nerdy situations, then I think you're going to enjoy my nonfiction book where I compare and examine the secret connection between comic book characters that have served in the military and my own personal time in the Army. You can buy this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. And if you've already purchased it, please go leave my book a review on Amazon or Goodreads. This will help the book in the rankings, and I'd love to get each site to 50 reviews on Super Soldiers. So Super Soldiers is now available, and I hope you enjoy it. Now to the show. Who is the mysterious Spider-Man villain that wears a fishbowl for a helmet? We are talking about Marvel's Mysterio because his geek history lesson is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Fishbowl Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or supervillain from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And this week, there's a teeny tiny little movie about a bug guy that's opening up.
That is correct.
So we thought we'd talk about the bad guy.
There is a film out there called Spider-Man's National Lampoon's European Far From Home Vacation, and it co-stars Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. Tom Holland is Spider-Man, of course. Spider-Man Far From Home. That's what we're talking about. Mysterio is the main villain of this movie, and we're going to be focusing on the main Mysterio, the Quentin Beck version. Now, there are other versions of Mysterio. We will briefly cover them, but since the movie is dealing with Quentin Beck, we're going to deal with Quentin Beck.
Is Quentin Beck mad because his cowboy boyfriend could not be a cowboy with him?
I mean, he might be mad that his cowboy boyfriend is passed away.
I'm really hoping this is Brokeback Mountain 2, Spider-Man prom.
No, I doubt it. I really doubt it. This Mysterio lesson, of course, was suggested by Alexander Ebert and at WM Burke 88.
Holy smokes, there's more than one request for
this. There's two requests for Mysterio.
Amazing.
So there you go. Let's hop into the first section of our podcast, the 10 Cent Origin.
And if you are not familiar, the 10 Cent Origin is the first part of the podcast where we tell you, Jason will tell you, I will try not to mess up the intro, all of the basics, who's its and what's its and power sets and creators and basically everything you need to know in case you go to a really cool Spider-Man themed cocktail party and someone's like, what's up about Mysterio?
Mysterio, of course, is a Marvel Comics villain. His first appearance is in The Amazing Spider-Man number 13 in June of 1964. He's an old villain. That might actually not be his first appearance. We'll talk more about that later. He was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, and his alter ego is, his real name is Quentin Beck. His team affiliations have been the Magia, the Mob, and the Sinister Six. One of his most notable aliases is Dr. Ludwig Reinhardt, and his abilities have been special effects. He's an illusion expert. He's a master hypnotist. He's a master magician. He's a master at sleight of hand. He's an amateur chemist. He's an amateur roboticist. We're going to get more into that later. And he has not great hand-to-hand skills. Exceptional hand-to-hand skills.
You know, you bringing up special effects is very funny. I'm just imagining that he's a villain based out of Weta Workshop.
He could be. I will tell you this. Mysterio has no superpowers. He is a normal human. Everything that he does is either skills that he has or things that he has built.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Now, as we'll get a little bit further, you'll find out that they sometimes stretch the realm of believability of how much a special effects artist can actually do. And I think the greatest thing about Mysterio is that it is very much looking at movie special effects from a 1960s perspective.
Yeah.
Because now it'd all be done CGI.
I was very practical based. That's funny.
Exactly. All right, let's move into the meet cute, Ashley.
Yes, the meet cute is the part of the podcast where we stole a term from romantic comedy writing, and we're going to tell you the first time we meted a character and how cute it was.
Ashley, where did you first discover Mysterio?
I have no idea. I've never read a Mysterio story.
So your answer is this podcast.
Yeah, I think Mysterio looks stupid. I guess I probably saw a picture of him on the internet or heard someone talk about him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about Mysterio.
All right.
So, I mean, I know he exists. I'm sure I've seen him in a cartoon before. I didn't know his real name. I didn't know there was more than one. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have no idea who this character is.
Mysterio's crying a little bit inside.
Yeah, well, you know what? He wears a stupid bowl on his head, so no one's ever going to know.
That's right. That's why he wears it.
He doesn't want to let me in. I don't care about his feelings.
Okay. Wow.
Jason.
Poor Quentin.
Where did Quentin's a great name, by the way. Where did you first meet Mysterio?
Well, Ashley, as we know, there are many different Spider-Man adjectives out there.
Yes.
There's, sometimes he's amazing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's spectacular.
Sometimes he's sensational.
Sometimes he's astonishing. But thank you for stepping on my toes, because I wanted to talk about how when he was sensational.
I'm sorry.
Actually ruined my setup.
Let me go take two. Sometimes he's spectacular.
No, too late. the moment is gone. The first time that Spider-Man was sensational was Sensational Spider-Man number one. Fun fact.
Imagine that.
Written and sometimes drawn by Dan Jurgens. Now, this was when Marvel stole Mr. Dan Jurgens, the illustrious and amazing Dan Jurgens, away from DC, and they gave him Spider-Man and Captain America, and he took over the Spider-Man book, and this was Ben Reilly Spider-Man. This was when the clone had the blonde-haired Ben Reilly, who is a favorite of mine in the podcast. And this is where he gets the redesigned Spider-Man costume that was co-designed by Dan Jurgens and Mark Bagley.
Which was later inherited by Mayday.
Exactly, which I think is a great Spider-Man costume design. And Mysterio is the villain of Sensational Spider-Man number one. But he also has a smoke head.
Yes.
Not a fishbowl. His head, kind of like Dormammu. He kind of looks like weird Dormammu, where it's a silhouette of a face through smoke. It's a cool design. I like it. And later, the Ultimate Universe steals it. And we'll talk more about that later.
Cool.
And we're going to move into the first section.
The History 101?
Or the next section.
That's the main section.
I'm sorry.
Which is the main meat of the lesson, where Professor Jason is going to teach you and me, evidently, everything we need to know about Mysterio.
Well, I'm going to say right now, we have stumbled on our magic tricks out the gate. We are not pulling off the prestige today. We're just going to talk about Mysterio. I'm going to say this right now. I like Mysterio, but I think I like the design of Mysterio more than I like the character of Mysterio, because I love the fishbowl design. The Steve Ditko design of Mysterio, I think, looks awesome. And that's one of the coolest things about the movie. And we should say right now, there will be no spoilers for a Spider-Man National European Far From Home Vacation, because
we haven't seen it yet.
We haven't seen it yet. Neither one of us seen it. So,
I have a hot take on Mysterio's design.
Yeah, let's go.
I just think it's Ant-Man's design with a cape and a full fishbowl helmet.
What?
In silhouette, I think he looks a lot like the original Ant-Man with that round helmet.
Well, the original Ant-Man has the antennae and his little jaw mandible things.
Yeah, they just put like a faceplate over it and we got Mysterio.
I guess. I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but sure.
I do think it's interesting, though, and I did want to point this out. You really like Mysterio, and there is kind of a whole generation of comic book fans who are big Mysterio fans. Like, when he was announced to be the villain of this movie, and by announced, I mean when somebody took a picture of Jake Gyllenhaal in that costume on a telephoto lens in Manhattan.
I was excited.
A lot of people were excited, and I was surprised at how many people were excited by that. So I guess he connected somehow.
Well, he has one of the most original designs.
Uh-huh.
He's a unique Spider-Man villain. He's one of the few Spider-Man villains that's not animal-based.
Yeah.
And also, Mysterio has been hinted as the villain of a Spider-Man movie for a long, long time now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the idea that he's finally one of the villains.
Cool.
So let's go into the History 101. First, some publication history. Now, Mysterio was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko and first appears in The Amazing Spider-Man number 13 in June of 1964, as I mentioned before. It was later retconned that the aliens that Spider-Man fights in Amazing Spider-Man number 2. No, I did not stumble. He fights aliens in that issue. Go read it. Those aliens were actually retconned to have said to have been Mysterio and his minions in disguise. So, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is sort of his first appearance, maybe? Do with that what you want.
Marvel's really good at having stupid cameos for their characters before they actually have an origin. Mary Jane Another Spider-Man character has that. Wolverine has that.
I'm going to give you a warning here. Mysterio, of course, is all about misdirection and illusion and strangeness. And a lot of Mysterio's storylines don't make sense. The story will just end and something will happen to Mysterio, something that will alter his character forever. And then a couple months later, Mysterio will appear again. And they won't mention the previous storyline at all.
Well,
or reference it. A lot of that's comics. But this happens a lot to Mysterio, since he's a character that will spray smoke at Spider-Man, and Spider-Man will be like, my eyes, where did he go?
Uh-huh.
That happens a lot. So,
I'm just imagining him being like Joe Bluth, being like, but where did the lighter fluid come from?
Okay, so Quentin Beck is the son of Elmore and Henrietta Beck, and was born in Riverside, California.
Oh boy.
Which is a couple hours east of Los Angeles. From a very young age, Quentin had a love for movies and special effects. And during this period, Quentin became good friends with his cousin, Maguire Beck. Now, Maguire's father, Quentin's uncle, encouraged his nephew's interests, giving him his first movie camera. And with that camera given to him by his uncle Vinny, Quentin made his own home movies and learned how to create stop motion special effects. Soon, though, his father, thinking that he was wasting his time, smashed his camera. After high school, Beck attended the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, better known as MIT, where he developed technical know-how that helped him solidify his future movie career. Quentin went on to become an accomplished special effects expert as well as a stuntman, but Quentin soon grew bored with his Hollywood career and frustrated with the lack of recognition he got from his work. And in an attempt to get the fame that he craved, Beck tried to become an actor, but turns out he was actually a terrible actor.
I have two thoughts.
Sure, throw them out here.
The uncle is called Maguire Beck?
Yes.
I'm going to die thinking that it's just Tobey Maguire Beck. Like, there is a real missed opportunity.
That might be intentional.
For funny memes and jokes there. There are several real world serial killers who wanted to be famous and were bad actors and failed at being famous. And so they murdered people and are now very famous. And that's all I could think of is these people.
Hey, I'm going to say this.
So even though this is
a murderer.
I mean, of course. Even all superheroes and supervillains are murderers.
Yes.
Let's just put that out of the way. But just as someone who likes true crime, it's very interesting that this was probably contrived as like, this is a crazy, wild thing that would never happen. And it's actually fairly prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve Ditko and Stan Lee were ahead of the time.
Prescient, yes.
So it was around this time that Quentin was very unsatisfied with his movie career that Spider-Man began making headlines as a media sensation. The Wall Crawler's agent, Maxie Schiffman, and yes,
Spider-Man had an agent?
Spider-Man had an agent because you have to think about his origin. He was premiered in a wrestling ring.
Sure.
And then some of the earlier Spider-Man storylines, he shows up on TV and like sticks to walls and does flips. And people at home are like, ooh, a person doing flips.
I mean, flips are impressive. I would.
It was very vaudevillian.
Yes. Oh, well said.
Yeah.
Marvel can hire us at any time to rewrite this origin where Spider-Man is a social media star dealing with brand deals.
I'll let you have that story. I don't want that at all.
I think that's so funny.
So Spider-Man's agent, Maxie Schiffman, hired Quentin Beck to come up with special effects for a future Spider-Man television appearance.
This is a much less dumb idea than I thought it was going to be.
Although Quentin insisted that Schiffman use fake props for safety, the agent wanted real dangers for his client, Spider-Man.
Wow.
Beck complied, but warned that he would not take any responsibility if anything wrong happened.
He's like, sign this.
Yep.
Sign this.
Yeah, complied. Sure enough, Spider-Man arrived late to practice the stunts. Thanks, Peter. And the studio audience was almost injured had it not been for Spider-Man's quick thinking.
Wow.
Having at this point grown fed up with his stagnant career, Quentin became inspired when one of his fellow co-workers and special effects artists jokingly suggested that he should use his special effects skill to become a costume supervillain and kill Spider-Man. So somebody says, hey, you know what? I think you should kill the Spider-Man guy. And Quentin was the one crazy that was like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Also, bad friend to suggest murder. If your friends, real or imaginary, are suggesting that you murder someone, get rid of them.
Now, see, in my head, I see this dude as the perfect surfer bro, like special effects guy.
Bruh.
Well, man. All right. Let me just say this to you. All right. You're like so good with the smoke, man.
I mean, yeah.
Like Quentin.
Yeah.
Hey, Quentin.
Yeah. Jeff, what's up?
Yeah, I'm Jeff. Jeff with a G. Thank you.
Geoff.
Geoff, yeah. You can call me Geoff. You're so good with, like, the smoke man.
Yeah.
I would call you Smokey the Bear if you were a bear. But you're not. You're Quinn. So, you're so good with the smoke man.
Yeah.
I think you should use that smoke.
Mm.
And you should go kill yourself a Spider-Man.
You know,
I think you'd be great.
You know, Geoff, as a man...
Geoff.
Yeah, Geoff.
Yeah, that's right.
As a man who I frequently see surrounded by plumes of smoke, I say thank you.
Yeah, man.
I tip my hat to you. I'm going to do just that.
Oh, wow. You're like blowing my mind, bro.
That's the weed, man.
Rad. I can't wait to see you kill Spider-Man with smoke. Rad.
I'm trying to pull a Lost reference about the smoke monster and I can't quite make it happen. Jason and I both live in California, so I'm going to say that dialect was perfect.
Okay, so let's get to the first appearance of Mysterio in Amazing Spider-Man number 13.
Okay.
So, the beginning of the issue, there's a Spider-Man that is robbing thieves and crooks and stores. And it's an imposter Spider-Man. But of course, mm-hmm. the world thinks it's the real Spider-Man. And Peter is so worried and bothered by this fact that he can't sleep. And he listens to the radio all night long for bulletins of crime for the reporters to break in with, the imposter Spider-Man is over here. Eventually, J. Jonah Jameson gets a note from someone that says he has the info to single-handedly get rid of Spider-Man. And he finds out that it's Mysterio, who appears to J. Jonah Jameson with a fishbowl and all. And he demands that J. Jonah print a notice that Spider-Man should meet him at the top of the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, Mysterio sells himself as a hero,
mm-hmm.
that he's getting rid of the menace that is Spider-Man. And J. Jonah's like, oh, yeah, you're blah, blah, blah. You're a good hero. So Spider-Man meets Mysterio at the top of the Brooklyn Bridge, and Mysterio kicks his ass.
Mm-hmm.
He surrounds him with smoke and he overwhelms Peter Parker's spider sense. Spider-Man dives off the bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, by the mm-hmm. way, and survives somehow. And the city declares that Mysterio has won, even though they haven't captured Spider-Man. They give Mysterio a parade down Fifth Avenue.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's that good. And they say, hooray for Mysterio. And J. Jonah introduces Mysterio to his Daily Bugle staff and says that Mysterio will reveal his identity once the threat of Spider-Man is defeated. Now, Spider-Man meets him at the Daily Bugle as Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
He puts a spider tracer on Mysterio. And suddenly, Spider-Man jumps Mysterio on the street. Mysterio kicks his butt again, like just trounces Peter a second time. And reveals his entire origin to Peter on the street at this point. Basically, you find out that Quentin studied Spider-Man for weeks and figured out all of his abilities, including his spider sense. Now, Ashley, I want to ask you a question here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is possible? Now, we have seen plenty of Spider-Man stories where the villains have overwhelmed Peter Parker's spider sense.
Uh-huh.
This is saying that a guy reading the newspaper, watching the news footage, hearing the radio bulletins, and studying Spider-Man for a couple of months, do you think you could figure out that he had some sort of sense that could warn him about the future?
I think you probably could, obviously depending on the type of footage that you got your hands on, because we frequently see the spider sense presented as Peter looking over his shoulder or looking behind him a second before something comes throttling through that would, like a car that would have smashed into mm-hmm. him.
It's premonition. It's seeing the future.
It's precognition.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's limited. It's like seeing 3 seconds into mm-hmm, the future, mm-hmm. which is something that they do have. One of the characters has in Black. Go listen to our book club on that. But
synergy.
But I think the bigger question is, could Mysterio overwhelm the spider sense with smoke? Because if we're in agreement that it's a precognitive.
It's not just the smoke.
I'm going to reveal more a little
okay.
bit later.
Okay, well then never mind.
All right, it's cool. We're going to learn the exact reason how a way he does it.
Because I don't think it can be done just with smoke.
No.
Because it would only work on smoke if it was like an echolocation. It wouldn't work on a psychic ability.
Exactly. In the issue, the two times that he does it,
mm-hmm.
he surrounds Peter in this giant cloud of smoke.
And it's usually like a yellow or a green, right? Like it's bright?
In this, it's gray.
Okay.
Later on, it becomes green. Like everything about Mysterio is
yeah.
green.
Yeah. Do you think Mysterio can see through the smoke in his helmet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I think he has like a heads-up display.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I think he also like can see heat signatures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Again, Spider-Man's eye lenses don't become super fancy until modern day. Actually, it's almost in the Spider-Man Homecoming movie where they basically make it an Iron Man suit.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if you're in a fishbowl, mm-hmm. it's going to be tough to breathe to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you're filling it with smoke. How do you see?
That's not how his mask works. Right here. Okay.
You can't see the little hand gestures that Jason just did, but he got very excited. Yes.
So back to Amazing Spider-Man number 13. Yeah. So you find out that Mysterio has, through all the studying, has designed all these movie props to replicate Spider-Man's powers. Sticking to walls, the webbing, everything like that. The thing I like about this is that this shows that Quentin is very smart. Mm-hmm. And he's also really good at his job. Like, he's probably really good at special effects if he could recreate all this.
Well, Marvel is the home of the science hero. Yes. So I like that we have a science villain to talk about.
And including that his fishbowl is designed exactly like Spider-Man's lenses, that it's opaque to the outside, mm-hmm. but clear to him.
Like a two-way mirror?
Yes. Now, he chose the name...
A one-way mirror.
He chose the name Mysterio to instill awe and fear in the hearts of his enemies. And... it's not the smoke, but his signature sonar abilities that overwhelm Spider-Man's spider sense. Now, I like that because, as we know, when Spider-Man meets his future villain, Venom, mm-hmm. who is the symbiote suit, Venom doesn't work on his spider sense. Venom's the one villain that Spider-Man cannot predict. Because when he got that suit on the Beyonder's planet in Secret Wars, which we also reviewed on this podcast, the machine designed it to not interfere with Peter Parker's spider sense. And the only way that Peter Parker was able to defeat Venom was with loud sonic sounds.
I take issue.
I like the idea that even though Stanley didn't know about that stuff, I like the idea that it's another, like, they're tied in.
Yes, like, but if it is a precognitive psychic ability, sonar wouldn't affect it, as opposed to the symbiote, which is alien goo, and solids and liquids can be affected, but, like... I understand that you mm-hmm. like the synergy of the sonar affecting, but like the sonar wouldn't affect psychic abilities.
Well, I'm going to say this, and again, a lot of Mysterio is comics.
Yeah. I know I'm trying to justify psychic abilities as well.
You have to just go with the idea that.
Now, the sonar could mess with his brain, which wouldn't let him access the psychic abilities.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
Yeah, sorry.
What I was going to say is that the sonar may make it impossible for him to think,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's how it doesn't work.
All right, Mysterio, you get a pass on this one.
Anyways, smart.
Yeah.
Smart villain. Smart guy. Well, luckily, Spider-Man had recorded this whole origin on a tape recorder.
A tape recorder?
Yep. He punches...
Jason, what's a tape?
It's a piece of...
For our millennials.
It's a cassette tape. It's like, it records noises, and it's in a square, and you put it in, and it goes... Chick,
I mean,
and you rewind, and it goes... Zzz,
we have listeners...
And sometimes when it gets mixed up, you put a pencil in there, and you have to unwind it.
We have listeners that I guarantee have never interfaced with a cassette tape.
Oh, I guarantee you there are listeners that are listening to this podcast right now that have no idea what a cassette tape is. Yeah. If you know what a cassette tape is, hashtag cassette yes.
At GHL Podcast.
And tell us what your first cassette tape was. Mine was the Beatles' The Blue Album.
Mine was a Shania Twain tape.
I feel like a woman?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like a Mysterio, so let's keep going. Spider-Man punches him, turns the tape into the police, and the issue's over. He wins.
Great.
Yeah.
All with the power of cassettes.
Mm-hmm. Shortly after this, Mysterio was recruited by Dr. Octopus as a charter member of the Sinister Six, which is a group of Spider-Man's most deadly foes. The group also included... Actually, I would love for you to guess. Every time we do one of these, so we know that it's Dr. Octopus and it's Mysterio. Who are the other four members of the Sinister Six?
Rhino?
Incorrect.
Scorpion?
Incorrect.
Black Cat?
Incorrect.
One of the Goblins?
Incorrect.
The Lizard?
Incorrect.
I don't know who any of the stupid Sinister Six are. I don't know.
The other ones are Vulture.
Oh.
Kraven the Hunter.
Oh.
Electro.
Oh.
And Sandman.
Oh.
Yes. And include Mysterio and Doc Ock. Now, each member wanted the opportunity to kill the wall crawler by themselves and went up against him one at a time, which is the opposite of forming a team. And Mysterio had a unique solution to beat Spider-Man.
Smoke?
not smoke, but actually I would love, do you have a guess for what Mysterio's unique solution to beating Spider-Man?
I think Mysterio built a giant prop and an anthropomorphic spider that kind of looked like Sheila, but kind of looked like that giant spider robot from Wild Wild West that was supposed to be in Superman, and it fought Spider-Man.
That is incorrect. You got close by building something.
Thank you. That's very generous.
He built robot duplicates of the X-Men, the five original X-Men.
Is this the first LMH or LMD in
kinda.
The Marvel universe?
Mysterio built robot duplicates of the X-Men that could duplicate their powers, and they fought Spider-Man. Now, let's talk about this.
There's also a robot Human Torch.
If you can make robot duplicates of anyone in the world, and you still can't beat Spider-Man, then it's time to pack it up. Or it's time to go find a different career.
But I'm very concerned about the idea that there is an automaton that is ostensibly in control of a villain with Jean Grey's powers.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that if he could duplicate their power sets, like that's not only incredibly impressive, but incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Also, you'd really only need one. Beast just got to get a hold of him and squeeze him.
Exactly. Exactly.
Pop him like a pimple.
So Mysterio was quickly defeated with the rest of the Sinister Six. And his constant defeat at the hands of Spider-Man caused Quentin to develop low self-esteem.
Oh, boy.
Yep. In desperation, he tried to reconnect with his past by visiting his old childhood home. And all this did was stir up sad memories of his childhood. However, he did reconnect with Betsy Schneider, an old childhood friend.
Okay.
Down on his luck, of course, Quentin was inspired to become Mysterio again after reading another one of J. Jonah Jameson's editorials about Spider-Man. And he didn't like this editorial, and this editorial kind of made fun of him. So he decided to get back at Spider-Man and J. Jonah Jameson, and he came up with the ultimate scheme to get back at J. Jonah Jameson. Ashley, I would love your guesses. I'm going to make you guess every Mysterio magic trick. I don't know if you've
He builds a robot duplicate of Rupert Murdoch and sends him to JJJ's office to beat him up.
Well, you got sending him something correct. No, he tricked the publisher, J. Jonah Jameson, into thinking he was dead and banished to hell.
That Jonah was dead.
That Jonah, he made Jonah think that he was dead and living in hell. And he used an old studio to facilitate this illusion.
I have an important question.
Yeah.
What version of hell?
Fire and brimstone.
So Catholic hell?
I mean,
are there seven cycles of hell?
This is not the podcast on hell, okay?
Like to request a Geek History lesson on hell.
Yeah, many people don't believe hell exists, and also which hell,
including
the DC Comics version of hell, the Sandman version of hell, the Neron version of hell.
That's why I asked.
Version of hell.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just go devil, fire. Let's say the Spawn version of hell. It has Malbolgia in it.
Great.
Okay.
Also a bunch of dope archangels.
Now, with his confidence growing, Mysterio then sent more robots based on the Sinister Six this time against Spider-Man, who was now searching for the missing J. Jonah Jameson. He also revealed himself as Mysterio to Betsy, and Betsy actually knew that he was Mysterio all along. She's like, I knew.
Because women are smart.
Yes. Not only was she impressed with what he had become, but she also admitted that she had had long-standing feelings for him as well. So Ashley, I want to analyze this.
Do you think she makes him keep the helmet on?
Of course. Let's analyze this, Ashley. An ex-boyfriend comes up to you, reveals, and you let's say you had a positive breaking out.
Okay.
You know? I want to hear the woman's perspective on this.
Yeah.
He reveals that he's a supervillain.
Mm.
And then he sends an old man to fake hell and beats up Spider-Man. What's your reaction?
I only have like one ex who I like. He's kind of a shy, quiet guy, so I'd be pretty impressed that he got out of the house and managed to facilitate all of this, honestly.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I mean, just to be honest, like, if he's sending some old man who owns a newspaper to hell in the current climate, the dude probably deserves to be there. So I might be impressed.
All right. Now we know, everybody.
If he made life-modeled decoys of the X-Men, I'd be really impressed.
I mean, he's making robot duplicates like he's like a fiend.
Like they're going out of style.
Yeah. Okay, upon returning to his hideout, Mysterio discovered that director Cecil Vergaro was now using... Yes, Cecil Vergaro.
Do we think this is a takeoff of Cecil B. DeMille?
Of course. Now, Cecil Vergaro was now using the studio that he had put J. Jonah in to film his latest movie starring Joe Smith. Worse off, Spider-Man had managed to track down the hideout and free Jada J. Jonah Jameson from the Malbolgia hell. Furious, Mysterio set the studio to explode and escape with Betsy atop a flying sphinx. But Betsy was horrified that Quentin would commit murder unaware that both Spider-Man and Joe Smith had survived.
I want a flying sphinx.
Mm-hmm. Now, things had started to fall apart when he learned that Schneider feigned interest in Quentin in order to write a book about the villain Mysterio.
Also a thing that's happened in true crime.
Yes. Furious, he used a virtual reality projector to make Times Square look like ancient Egypt. And despite this, Mysterio was eventually defeated thanks to Spider-Man and, don't forget, the actor Joe Smith. And adding insult to injury, Joe Smith and Betsy Schneider fell in love during the whole affair. And I'm just going to say that that is not a healthy couple.
I have a question.
Sure.
Does Mysterio's version of ancient Egypt have En Sabanur in it?
No.
If his VR was that good, honestly, I mean, he could sell it right now to anyone trying to develop VR.
I mean, the bigger question is why didn't he start the Amazon robot
Apple?
Revolution?
Yeah.
20 years ahead of the time, if he's building robots left and right.
I know. It really seems like if he were more focused and business oriented, he could be a billionaire. Like, he could be Tony Stark and not really need to worry about it.
Well, it's the same as Spider-Man. That same argument is made for Peter. Peter could be just as rich as Tony if he tried.
Yes, but with Peter, I understand the grounding a little more, and I understand like Peter is supposed to represent a more authentic version, but Mysterio's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Now, Mysterio eventually returned to his false identity of Ludwig Reinhardt.
Love it.
And Quentin took over the operations of the Restwell Nursing Home on Long Island. This allowed him to bilk the retirees who lived there out of their life savings. Mm. And incidentally, at the same time, Peter Parker's Aunt May had taken up residence at that same nursing home.
Did he just like run a QVC channel or something?
What do you mean?
Well, because, you know, QVC steals money from old people.
Oh, sure. No, I told you he's literally living in the rest home and taking their money. Mm-hmm. So Aunt May is there. May Parker's residency also attracted the burglar who murdered her husband, Uncle Ben, years earlier. The burglar, unaware that Reinhardt was actually Mysterio, took Reinhardt hostage. And the burglar had a keen interest in May Parker, but couldn't carry out his scheme because her nephew was constantly visiting her. He then forced Ludwig to help him solve his problem. And Beck decided to play along with the burglar's demands until he could determine what this burglar was after. To this end, Beck managed to make it look like May Parker had suddenly died. And when Peter was informed of May's death, Reinhardt tried to console Peter. However, Peter was so distraught that he left Beck to deal with all the arrangements of May's death, which is what Beck wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to ask, why is Mysterio so concerned with torturing senior citizens?
Because they're easy marks and because criminals are cowardly and lazy.
Well, he sent J. Jonah to hell and now he's dealing with May. So even though Beck had succeeded in stopping Peter's regular visits, he was still unable to get the burglar to reveal his secret. And growing tired of pretending to be a helpless prisoner, Beck used his abilities to take control of the situation. He subdued the burglar, took him prisoner, but by this time, Peter Parker had figured out that old Reinhardt was Mysterio. And he came back to the retirement home to face him. In their initial battle, Mysterio had the upper hand and left the hero to drown in the retirement home's in-ground pool.
Wow, vicious.
Yes. At that time, Mysterio had learned that the burglar had rented out the old Uncle Ben May Parker home and deduced that whatever this burglar was working for was at that house. After failing to get any answers out of the crook, Mysterio decided to go and search the house for himself. Meanwhile, Spider-Man, unaware of the burglar's involvement, figured out that Mysterio was the individual who had recently trashed his old family home. And going there to search for clues, he faced Mysterio again. The villain managed to hit the wall crawler with a dart filled with a lethal dose of tranquilizer, and left him for dead. However, Spider-Man survived, stopped the burglar, and rescued Aunt May. And it turned out that the burglar was looking for Dutch Malone's long lost stash that had been hidden in the Parker home years before Ben and May Parker had owned it. And incidentally, When they finally found it, the money had been eaten by a silverfish insect long ago.
Silverfish are so gross.
Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because this is a retcon for the Uncle Ben murder.
Yeah.
With the reason why the crooks broke into the house is because there was money there. And that's the reason why I want to talk about a mysterious part of that. So soon, a mysterious being named Kane murdered Dr. Octopus. Ashley, do you know who Kane is?
Spider-Man clone.
Yes, he is actually the first ever Spider-Man clone ever. He's the Jackal's first attempt, the failed attempt at cloning Peter Parker, and he would go on to become the second Scarlet Spider. Now, Kane had slain Dr. Octopus. He also killed Mysterio.
What?
But in reality, this was actually a robot Mysterio that Beck had controlled remotely. Mysterio is obsessed with robots.
Oh my God.
Creating a new costume for himself, Mysterio then hatched his next scheme. His head was covered in smoke, his body was covered in green straps, and again, this is the Sensational Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. This is a Sensational Spider-Man. Mysterio hired the mercenary known as Armada to steal a new experimental digital imagery transmission chip from Centennial University. Although this attempt was interrupted by the new Spider-Man, Ben Reilly. Actually, let's explain who Ben Reilly is real quick.
So there was an event in the 90s called the Clone Saga, where there was a clone of Peter Parker. He changed his name to Ben Reilly after Uncle Ben and Aunt May's maiden name.
It's Reilly is May's maiden name.
Her birth name. He got blonde hair. He replaced Peter Parker for a while. Then he pretend died and didn't really die.
Yes. Because there was a time, the reason why he became Spider-Man is because there was a fake report. You later find out that was because of Norman Osborn, that he was the real Spider-Man and Peter Parker was the clone.
Yeah.
I found that was wrong. So Ben Reilly, Spider-Man at this point. So Armada was successful. They stole the DIT chip. And now Mysterio had it, and he learned how to use it to make his thoughts appear on television and soon began plotting his next scheme to destroy Spider-Man. In the guise of Randolph Hines, the owner of the local television station, this station began broadcasting a new television channel called Mystery Vision. Those who watched the programming on that channel quickly became addicted to watching it. I also want to point out that this is very similar to the plotline of Batman Forever and what the Riddler does. Soon, Mystery Vision became the most watched television station in the region, and when Spider-Man investigated the channel's sudden popularity, he became almost enthralled by his broadcast. But he learned that its hypnotic power is the work of the recently stolen DIT chip. Unfortunately, this was short-lived as Spider-Man developed a means of tracking the signal with the DIT tracking device, and he beat up Mysterio and won the day.
Wow.
So Mysterio Vision Television was shut down.
Sounds like the plot of a Black Mirror episode.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close. We got to hold on just a second. I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick, but I think ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. I think there's a guest at the door. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Okay, I'll go get it.
I'll let them in. Okay. You'll talk to the guest. Okay, I'm going to.
Okay. Hi.
Hello, Doctor Strange here.
Your cape is looking magnificent.
Thank you very much. I love my cape. Floats off my shoulders and just stands there. It's currently giving you a back massage.
It's very lovely.
Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
I am here to learn about your Patreon.
Oh, yeah, Patreon.
Your Patreon?
Well, we're American here. Actually, so are you, ironically. So
I do not understand your meaning.
Patreon.
Your Patreon, yes.
Yes.
I hear it's a patreon.com/ Jawin.
Yes. Can you spell that for us?
J-A-W-I-I-N.
That was excellently done.
Yes.
Yeah, on Patreon, we have a bunch of amazing exclusive content.
Hold on. By the power of omnipotent Ostra, I command you to reveal the details of something called Crisis Club.
Yeah, for $8 a month. you get a 12-part video essay on each issue of Crisis on Infinite Earths. Jason and I are doing a mini documentary on it where we go through each issues, we point out Easter eggs, we make predictions, and you go check that out. We got some cool physical swag that we will send you for being a participant as well. There's also quarterly live streams where we answer your questions. I could go on and on. There's so much cool stuff for Crisis Club.
Great all-seeing eye of Agamotto! You must come to my aid, and you must tell me, why do you need this support on Patreon?
Well, you've seen our setup here. It's pretty small.
I mean, it's not impressive.
No,
I'm going to say that.
It's just me,
it
Jason.
It looks like a closet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not wrong.
There's not a lot. It's a white walls. You really need to throw rug.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, our intern is a cat. So
that's not good. One time I had an intern that was a Brookfugger slug.
I'm going to pretend that that was a real
a
word.
Brookfugger slug.
Can you, one more time?
Brookfugger slug.
Someone please isolate that.
From the dark dimension.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. He was filled with dark magic.
That sounds about right.
Yes.
So we take all of the amazing support that we get on Patreon,
yes,
and it lets us host this podcast, take the time to research it, replace the microphones, which needs to happen from time to time. It's really the only thing that allows us to do this because, you know, I don't know if you know this, Stephen, but there was a while where this podcast almost went away.
Whoa.
But
the evil of Dormammu had come to infect this podcast.
Yeah, and you and Clea, like, weren't taking our calls, so we went to Patreon helped us out.
I'm going to say this. I am not a rich man myself.
You're a doctor.
I'm not currently practicing.
You live in the village.
I mean, look, the building was bought years ago. I'm just staying there, okay? I'm just saying. I do need to know, by the light of Agamotto, I dispersed Dormammu's evil, and I can sense that this week's GHL Extra is talking about the Spider-Man villains that should be in Spider-Man There's No Place Like Home / Spider-Man Homeless / MCU Spider-Man number 3.
Yeah.
Is that correct? What is this GHL Extra?
It is an extra podcast that is really only supposed to be 10 to 15 minutes, but usually goes closer to 25
or 30. Wait. So not only do you get this podcast, you get more podcasts?
That's right. Wow. And we are going to make suggestions. We're going to dive into a discussion about what Spider-Man villain we want to see in Spider-Man Graduation.
You think it'll be called Spider-Man Graduation?
I mean, I hope it's called, I don't know.
Well, I think you have a worthy cause, and I would go over there and support it and guarantee that this podcast will never end as a bastion for good against the evil Dormammu and dark magic all across the world.
Thanks, Steven. That's really nice of you.
Yes. Now I must be away.
Yeah, but Clea misses you.
There is a white fanged beast eating hot dog vendors all across the Brooklyn Bridge, and only my magics can stop it.
Okay, bye.
I'm just going to walk out.
Yeah, you can see yourself out.
Yeah, sure.
You
bye.
Go in. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, hey, well, I just passed Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
His hair looks great today.
It did look good. It always looks good. All right, let's go back to the show.
Okay.
Soon, Mysterio learned some terrible news. When he was imprisoned at Ravencroft Prison, it was here that he became sick and was told that after years of being exposed to chemicals like smoke that he used in his special effects, that he had developed a brain tumor and lung cancer.
Oh, boy.
Unfortunately, these illnesses were beyond, they could not be operated on, and he was given a year to live. The courts deemed that Beck was no longer a threat, and he's released from prison to live out the rest of his very short life. Furious that he never got the recognition for his work that he always wanted, Mysterio decided to carry out one last grand scheme to leave his mark on the world. But by this time, he was led to believe that the Spider-Man he had fought in the past, the Spider-Man he fought in the Media Blitz storyline that we just talked about, was an imposter and not the real Spider-Man.
Well, because he was.
Oh, he was. He was Ben Reilly. So he decided that he needed to find another worthy target. So he paid Kingpin a large sum of money. Who is Kingpin, Ashley?
He's a giant gangster, runs around New York City, and is now most famous for being a Daredevil villain, even though he's definitely a Spider-Man villain.
Wilson Fisk, yes. So he gave Kingpin a large sum of money to learn everything about
Daredevil. And Fisk told Beck everything he knew about Daredevil, including that he was secretly Matt Murdock, the nature of his powers, and his personal life. So actually, I want to talk about this. You just brought this up. Let's talk about Spider-Man villains becoming Daredevil villains. Good thing, bad thing? Do we like that they're so interchangeable?
I mean, it makes sense. They are perceived as two of the more street-level Marvel characters, even though they're definitely not. They basically operate in different boroughs of New York. Like, there's a lot of similarities between the two. I think in the case of Kingpin, it was definitely for the best. I think Kingpin operates much better opposite Daredevil. With Mysterio, I haven't read the story, so I can't speak to it, but it seems like a little bit of a stretch to me.
I'm going
to
say that I like it.
Okay.
Because I like the idea that because Daredevil was blind, it makes sense why he could be hoodwinked more.
Mm.
I think, anyways. So Mysterio studied Daredevil and his religious upbringing and began formulating a scheme to drive Daredevil mad. Now, what everything I'm going to tell you happened in the storyline called Guardian Devil, which was the first story ever published under the Marvel Knights imprint. This is Kevin Smith's first Marvel comic book work, drawn by Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti. Now, using his remaining fortune, Mysterio began constructing everything he needed to facilitate this endeavor. He found a young girl named Gwyneth and had her artificially inseminated in secret. When she gave birth to her daughter, he used drugs to convince Gwyneth that the child was immaculately conceived and that it was a divine child and that forces sought to harm the child. And as he planned, Gwyneth took the child to Matt Murdock, telling him about the child's alleged divinity and that she believed he could be trusted since she knew he was Daredevil, setting this plan into motion. Beck then murdered Jonathan Curtin, whom he admired and whose fortune he needed to pull off the rest of the scheme. Taking Curtin's face, Beck, under the guise of the name Nicholas McCabe's, he claimed to be part of a timeless organization named the Sheol that was charged with preventing Armageddon from happening. He then claimed that the child in Murdock's care was actually the Antichrist and that he needed to turn the child over to him in order to prevent it from bringing about the end of the war. So he put Daredevil in a real good, bad religious conundrum.
If I may, earlier you gave him a new name and a new last name.
Yes.
I think it's probably pronounced Maccabee because that's the name of the Jewish ancestors.
You're probably right.
And I just wanted to say that before anyone else had a chance.
I'm certain I'm mispronouncing everything wrong.
I only know that from a song. I apologize that we're not Jewish.
Quentin Beck also employed Lydia McKenzie, an actress looking for a divorce, to seduce Matt's partner, Foggy Nelson. She then slipped Murdock a drug that caused him to hallucinate. And then she also slipped Foggy Nelson a drug that made him think that she was a demon and seemingly shoved her out a window. In reality, actually, Beck made sure she died of a drug overdose and pushed her out the window himself.
Okay.
So worse, after posing as a doctor, Quentin convinced Karen Page, Matt's sometimes girlfriend, that she was infected with HIV from her years becoming a drug addict and her career in adult films. Meanwhile, because of all this stuff, Daredevil sought the assistance of who, Ashley? Who do you think? He's sitting here, he's looking at a baby, he's being told the baby's divine, he's being told by this other organization that the baby's the Antichrist. Who would Daredevil go to for help?
Mother Mary?
No, Doctor Strange! Is back here. He came to me, Ashley. I was sitting out in the hallway waiting for this moment to come back.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I'm just trying to, like, wrap my head around how any of the story makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Because I soon told Matt that actually there was nothing special about the baby. It was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Matt was like, this must be the Antichrist. And I was like, no, my blind friend. It's just a baby.
I also think the Antichrist is supposed to come back fully formed and not be a baby.
No, it grows up in our world and 666 and brands everybody and goes on to become the star of a novel series called Left Behind. That's what the Antichrist does.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Ta-ta!
Bye!
So, Daredevil.
Yeah.
Later on, Bullseye showed up.
Uh-huh.
And Daredevil was unable to stop Bullseye from kidnapping the baby and murdering Karen Page in the process. Uh-huh. This is the story where Karen Page dies. When Daredevil finally tracked down Maccabee's hideout, Mysterio set a series of traps and minions before revealing himself to Daredevil. Mysterio then detailed his plan in the hopes that his grand deception would finally push Daredevil over the edge so that the hero would kill him. So Mysterio's whole plan was death by Daredevil.
He could have just killed himself.
However, Daredevil resisted the urge, realizing that this is exactly what Quentin wanted in the end. With the child now free and his death denied, Mysterio took the cowardly way out and shot himself in the head.
This is just like, they made him someone who wants death by cops. Like, okay.
Now, despite his apparent suicide, there actually have been conflicting reports about actually what happened. And there have been compelling evidence that suggests that Quentin Beck actually died because he was seen in the afterlife in certain stories. On the other hand, Mysterio later claimed in a later storyline that he faked his death and he never died.
Marvel editors, what's going on over there? Cats and dogs living together. Mm-hmm.
And more recently, a mysterious entity has also made claims to support the fact that Mysterio did in fact die and was given a second lease on life by him. So did Mysterio actually die? Comics?
Yeah.
I don't know. If his suicide is to be believed, there is a storyline where Quentin Beck ended up in the lower depths of the afterlife. There was a deceased villain known only as the Pitiful One, who discovered a strange clay called Creme du Profundus that could bring the dead back to life for a brief period of life. Brief period of time, excuse me. So he recruited a bunch of dead supervillains. Kraven the Hunter, Miss America, the Anarchist, and Mysterio, who all sought to be arrested. Now, they were trying to cheat death.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a message that was sent out into the real world that sort of was a warning that all these dead supervillains were going to come back to life and that they were performing a scheme. Now, this message came to the earthly plane and it came to one person.
One.
Ashley, who do you think that person is?
Wong.
Wong? No.
Dr. Strange.
That message came. Yeah, correct, Dr. Strange. I actually didn't even leave the room this time. I just stood in the corner and you didn't see me.
I'm petting the cat.
Yes, I pet your intern. By the way, I don't know if you know, your intern is 1/6 Gefulterbeast.
Great.
Yes. So watch out.
He's fixed, though.
That does not matter to Gefulterbeast.
Okay.
You need to watch out on that.
I'll make a note.
So this message came to me, Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. in between my dabblings with the dark magic. So, the Pitiful One and his minions attacked the United Nations.
Why?
Because of reasons.
Why? We've not talked about the United Nations this entire time. Mm. Why are they attacking Spider-Man?
Yes. Instead of stopping the attack, Doctor Strange decided to look for deceased allies to help his scheme.
Of course.
And Doctor Strange enlisted the mutant girl known as Dead Girl, who's a part of one of my favorite teams of all time,
Ecstatics.
Ecstatics! Yes.
So wait, you were reading Ecstatics recently?
I've been reading Ecstatics because I think it's amazing. Now, they stopped this entire scheme, and it was still important to note that this may not be the real Quentin Beck. Could have been an imposter. We don't really know. And eventually, Mysterio was restored to full life. How? Comics.
Can I ask, in your headcanon, do you think he really dies?
No.
Okay.
No, I think it's a fake Mysterio. Okay. I think Mysterio lies, and you cannot trust him.
That's interesting that you should say
that. Cannot trust them. Then Mysterio is connected in a very cool storyline. He's connected to the Ultimate Marvel Universe. Ashley, can you explain very briefly what is the Ultimate Marvel Universe?
So the Ultimate Marvel Universe was an alternate universe that was created in the early aughts, which basically asked, what if all of these characters were created now in a post-Xbox generation rather than in the 1960s space boom?
That is correct.
And we got some of the best versions of these characters.
Yeah, and they got an amazing title called Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, The Ultimates. That's where the Avengers came
from. Yeah, if you like the Avengers in the movies, you owe a great debt to the Ultimates.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mysterio somehow created a device that allowed him to access an alternate reality where Spider-Man was still a teenager. How did he build this device? I don't know.
Comics.
He decided to use this new world as his plaything. And Beck created a number of android avatars that he could control remotely.
Sure he did.
More robots that he controlled remotely from his native reality, which is the Earth 616, the main Marvel universe. Now, this new universe is Earth 1610, the Ultimate Universe.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mysterio in the Ultimate Universe is the Mysterio in the regular Marvel Universe. They are one and the same. The Mysterio in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, of course, looks like the flame Dormammu mm-hmm. head, sort of that Media Blitz version. Ashley, do you know what this means, that Mysterio is the same villain in both universes?
No.
It means that Mysterio can travel and access the multiverse.
Well, yeah, you just said that he built a device that let him do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also seems very similar to a certain movie that might be coming out very recently.
Yes.
So I'm
I was
just saying,
that.
This is might be some clues. This storyline might be some clues for a future movie. So
I'm
there you
just
go.
Saying, if we learn that he's the Mysterio from the Tobey Maguire old man Spider-Man universe, I'd be happy.
Yeah, sure. Following the Ultimatum Crisis, this is an Ultimate comic storyline where Magneto drowned the world with a giant tidal wave. Don't worry about it. It's not good. Mysterio took advantage of the situation to take over the New York City underworld. To this end, he ambushed the Ultimate Kingpin and threw the mobster from his office to his death. And then Ultimate Mysterio became the new kingpin of the Ultimate Marvel Universe.
Hmm.
Now, back in the regular Marvel Universe, the 616,
yep.
Mysterio was found by 616 Spider-Man when his portal caused a massive beam of energy to expel into the sky. And during this, Mysterio damaged his interdimensional device, causing Peter Parker, the regular Spider-Man, to actually be thrown into the Ultimate Universe. This is the storyline where Peter met Miles Morales for the very first time, mm-hmm. the storyline called Spider-Man. And this is where he learned that he had died in that other universe. Now, really quickly, Ashley, let's explain who Miles Morales is for the three people who have not seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
In the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker actually died when he was 16. He's replaced by an Afro-Latinx adorable child genius named Miles Morales.
Exactly, correct. So we have our normal Peter Parker
mm-hmm.
goes to this Ultimate Universe, learns that he died, and meets his young replacement. Eventually, the two Spider-Man team up and take down Mysterio. And the Ultimate Nick Fury decides to keep Mysterio prisoner in the Ultimate Universe due to Mysterio's knowledge of Peter Parker's secret identity. Because, see, Peter Parker died in that universe. His identity went public.
Mm-hmm.
So Mysterio's like, oh, Peter Parker's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Ah. So.
Well, don't worry, because the Ultimate Universe is going to explode in like 10 years.
Exactly. Later on in the Ultimate Universe, so Mysterio lives in the Ultimate Universe for like a year.
Wow.
Later in that universe, he is questioned by the Ultimates when Galactus, the 616 Galactus, is accidentally transferred to the Ultimate Universe, and they determine that Galactus originates from Mysterio's world. Quentin Beck reveals that Galactus's past assaults have been defeated by his world's Reed Richards, allowing the Ultimates to send their Reed Richards to Earth 616 to hack their counterpart's files on Galactus. But because of Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars, Mysterio has mysteriously just returned to the Marvel 616 universe because of reasons, and he has hypnotized Spider-Man a couple more times in recent days, but I still think that's a great place to leave the Mysterio lesson.
Cool.
Really quickly before we move on, I want to talk to you a little bit about the other Mysterios. After Quentin Beck, there have been other characters. The second Mysterio is a guy named Daniel Beckhart. He was created by Jerry Conway and Ross Andrew, and he first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man 141, February of 1975. That was a guy that Quentin just gave his stuff to in prison. It was like, go be Mysterio.
Okay.
The third Mysterio is Frances Klum. Now, he was created by Kevin Smith and Terry Dodson, has only appeared in Spider-Man Black Cat, The Evil That Men Do. This is a series that has never finished. And the fourth Mysterio is a character called Mysterion. And he was created by Christopher Yost and David Lopez, first appeared in Avenging Spider-Man number 22 in 2013. None of them have really done anything special, so that's why they're not worth mentioning.
I'm shocked that there's no Lady Mysterios.
Yes, no Lady Mysterio, sadly.
Hello, listeners. Doctor Strange here, transmitting from the dark dimension to interrupt your podcast to let you know that there's soon a threat. Yes, a threat from Dormammu. He is slowly encroaching into your dimension, and the only way that you can stop him is by building a website. I know this sounds strange, but I have considered the runes, and I have looked at the signs, and I have figured out that the only way to defeat Dormammu and his dark magic is to build your own website using Wix. Now, the good thing about this is I have looked with the Time Stone and have discovered that over 140 million people use Wix already. So if you join those 140 million people, you start and publish your free website with hundreds of design features and apps to grow your brand online, including menus and forms and lists and social bars. Ooh, I love a good... Doctor Strange, actually, fun fact, one time on a trip, I loved going to a social bar, but this is probably not the same social bar. But if you build your website with Wix.com, you can join your magic with me, consult the runestones, and together we can defeat Dormammu in his dark magic! You have to go right now to Wix.com. That's Wix.com/podcast, and you will get 10% off. That is Wix.com/podcast. Use this easy to use website builder, this drag and drop builder, and help Doctor Strange defeat Dormammu and his dark magic. Now back to the show.
All right, let's go into the recommended reading.
Where, if you enjoyed this lesson, I did, actually. I learned a lot. You can go over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, and Professor Jason will recommend three things that you can pick up if you want to know more about Mysterio. We have all of our recommended reading for all of our 260-some past topics there. You click on the widget, you buy the thingy that you want, a little bit of support comes back our way with no extra cost out of your pocket.
That's right.
So, Jason.
I mean, I'm going to say this.
There's no great Mysterio collection.
It was tough. It was really, really tough because he's, you know, a giant supporting character. His best storyline is Guardian Devil. It's Daredevil, mm-hmm. Guardian Devil. That is the first six issues of the Marvel Knights Daredevil series. I would read it if you're a Daredevil fan, but like, it's probably the best storyline where Mysterio was ever a villain. I know I probably did a very bad version of explaining the storyline, but I actually think it's really good.
Great.
I think it's really good. The second one is Spider-Man, where mm-hmm. he is a villain to both Spider-Mans. And I also would say that, like, you should probably read this if you want to understand Spider-Man Far From Home a little bit better, because I guarantee you, this is where they got the idea for a multiverse traveling Mysterio. And lastly, there is a great collection that Marvel just put out that's called Spider-Man versus Mysterio, and it collects a whole bunch of his storylines, including his very first appearance. So I would go read that.
I will say that's one of the best things that the movies and the television do, because these characters pop. We get collections like this, which are probably not interconnected stories, but some of the best stories and some of the most important appearances, whereas previously it would be really hard to have to find some Mysterio stories. So I tip my hat to film and television for giving us that.
Sure. Okay. All right. Now we're going to go into the teaching tweet,
which is where in 140 characters or less, because we're old school, Professor Jason is going to sum up everything he just taught you. This will be shared on our official Twitter at GHL Podcast.
Mysterio. With a fishbowl head and a flair for the dramatic, why does this supervillain flummox senior citizens more than Spider-Man? Hashtag leave them alone. Hashtag Medicare doesn't cover villains.
A little political there with your Medicare.
I mean, a lot of people depend on Medicare. Totally. Let's go into the honor roll.
Yes, the honor roll is the last, well, yeah. The last-ish section of our podcast, where if you go over to Apple Podcasts and you leave us 5 stars, we'll read whatever you write.
Yes, we have two people joining the honor roll this week. We have Bishop, not from the future, who gave us 5 stars, who says, I'm a relatively young comics fan. I only graduated high school last year.
Do you know what a cassette is?
Probably not. I began reading with the not-so-new 52. As I dug deeper, I began to realize just how much continuity the reboot maintained. That's where JHL comes in. Ashley and Jason expertly explain and entertain you through the history of characters, and I would now consider myself a pretty well-versed comics fan. And this awesome dynamic duo is a big reason why. P.S. the Doctor Strange show made everyone at my job think I'm a weirdo because I laughed so hard.
Well, you're welcome. I didn't actually leave. I now stood 2 inches to the side of Jason's microphone, gazing deeply into both of their eyes, searching down into their souls to find out if they, either one of them, were infected with the dark magic.
This is another reason why we need your support on Patreon, because he won't leave and we have to feed and house this guy.
Yes, I have eaten many boxes of their rice-a-rooney.
Stephen, why don't you read our next inductee into the honor room?
Very well. Scoot over, Jason. Such an amazing podcast by Shibster One. As someone who runs a DC website, dccomicnews.com, it's wonderful to get a deeper understanding of the characters I know and love. Jason and Ashley are so energetic and passionate about the topics. It's infectious. The show has made me want to go back and fill in the holes in my comic reading. Keep up the great work, ! Joshua Rayner, editor-in-chief of DC Comics News. That is all.
Okay.
You know, I just want to give a quick shout out to Joshua Rayner because I was just on his podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's very awesome.
So go check that out. Go listen to Jason's episode and then go listen to all the rest of their episodes.
So Shibster One, Joshua Rayner, and Bishop Not from the Future, thank you so much for the 5 stars. Welcome into the Teacher's Lounge where you will have access to all their Zevia Zero Calorie Soda, not a sponsorship that...
we would like them to be a sponsor though, so if you know anyone who works there, let them know.
That Professor Taylor puts in the fridge.
What does Professor Taylor teach again?
Track and field. That's it.
That's not teaching.
Track.
That's coaching.
And field. If you want to be in the GHO honor roll, go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. And also, don't forget to download our podcast over there. You can also find it on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all the places you can find podcasts. You can find our podcast. And if you can't find our podcast on your podcast service of choice, give us an email at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. Let us know. We'll add it. We'll make sure to put it on there. And also, you know, we're trying to spread the word Geek History Lesson. So if you really enjoy our podcast, tell it to a friend. Hey, say to one of your friends, be like, hey, man, I got a podcast that's cool. Geek History Lesson. Make them listen. Force them. Tie them down to a bed and put our podcast in their ear holes.
We do not condone assault.
I'm just saying right now that we are not liable if you get arrested because you tie up your friend and make them listen to our podcast.
Yeah, and cut off all circulation to their hands.
Ashley, if they want to suggest future lessons like Mysterio, just like our two cool people who were Alexander Ebert and @WMBurke88, where can they do that?
You can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter @GHLpodcast. There's like 100,000 ways to contact us in all of those places.
You can follow us on Twitter. For me, it's @Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. I'm also on Instagram @Jawin. And for Ashley, on Twitter and Instagram @AshleyVRobinson. We post kind of cool pictures, so go check us out. And now, the last section of the podcast, #StickAround, where we talk a little bit more to make you stick through the plugs. Ashley, I'm going to pitch you on something.
Mm.
So you remember the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies?
Mm.
Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3.
Mm.
There was a time where they were going to let Sam Raimi make Spider-Man 4. He got so far into pre-production that he had actually cast the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He got to cast the villains. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can find, there's a very famous blog post that's on Ain't It Cool News where Sam Raimi talks about the failures of Spider-Man 3 and tells you his plans for Spider-Man 4. I want to tell you his plans because it relates to Mysterio. And I want to get your opinion about whether or not you think this would work. Spider-Man 3 comes out, I think, in 2008. So let's just assume that this movie comes out in... Spider-Man 3 came out in 2008, the same year as Iron Man? Really? Let's double check that. I don't know if that's true. Anyway, so I want you to put this in your head that this movie comes out around, you know, let's say...
2010?
2010. So Spider-Man 3 is 2007. So it's the year before Dark Knight. So this movie, Sam Raimi Spider-Man, comes around 2010. So right the year before Captain America, the First Avenger. Now, Spider-Man 4 was going to be two villains. The Vulture, played by John Malkovich, and Mysterio, played by Bruce Campbell.
I knew that.
And they were going to reveal that all the other Bruce Campbell cameos were Quentin Beck pretending and watching Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thoughts on this? Do you think a Mysterio in Spider-Man 4 with the Vulture, which we already see played by Michael Keaton, do you think it could have worked?
I think it would have worked better without the Vulture.
You think Mysterio could have carried the whole movie by himself?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I do.
That's it? Those are all your thoughts?
Yep.
Wow, this is deep.
Yep. I also don't understand why they keep wanting to do Sinister Six. Like,
why not?
Amazing Spider-Man was also supposed to be Sinister Six. And then, like, clearly it don't work. So let him go to bed. Put him back in the toy box. Do any other Spider-Man villains.
They've never done them.
I know, but every time they try, it ruins the franchise. So I'm like, I don't understand why people keep wanting to play in that sandbox.
No,
like, there are more Spider-Man villains, and there are more storylines that you can touch. Like, I don't understand the affection for the Sinister Six.
Devil's Advocate, with as many superhero movies as we have, and we're well past 100 now, we've never seen a supervillain team up yet.
I agree. I mean except for
the X-Men, but the Suicide Squad were the heroes in that movie.
Yeah.
They were not the, we've never seen it. And I understand, one, the Sinister Six are cool.
Uh-huh.
Two, the Sinister Six allows you to put some Spider-Man villains in there that you would never give a full movie to.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm more interested in like the dueling narrative of the two, of a hero and a villain on the same journey going down different paths.
Mm-hmm.
But
we've also seen that movie like 100 times
now. It's still what I'm more interested in.
Sure.
I'm less, that's why now, like, I don't like that every superhero movie has to have two villains. Do one and do it well. Don't give me two and do a bad job at it.
Well, a lot of them don't have two villains. I mean, that's a thing created by Batman.
I know.
Batman Returns was the first superhero movie that did that.
I don't know. I also just in general, like, don't particularly care for villains. So the idea of like one hero and six villains is, for me, at face value, unappealing. I'm sure it could be done really well.
Sure.
And I'm sure it will happen. But like when you pitch that to me, I'm not interested in it.
Well, the problem, I think, more so with The Amazing Spider-Man is that they never set it up beyond showing it to us as the end credit scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
but that was their plan. They announced it. Yep. They announced a Sinister Six movie. They announced that they were going to be casting it. And then, of course, it didn't
happen. They kept, like the closest they got was they had a scene of some rando walking through a warehouse and you just saw the six things and you were like...
Well, and Rhino.
And you're like, that's it?
Yeah.
If they had actually set up...
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if the Lizard was a member of the Sinister Six and the Goblin was a member of the Sinister Six and we got the Rhino. So there's three, and then the other movie introduces the other three and you combine them all. Mm-hmm. Then say you built up to it, but that's the problem is that they actually never did it.
Yeah.
They kept just being like, we're going to do it. We're going
to
do it.
I kind of feel like they tried to do that in, what the hell is the first Tom Holland Spider-Man called?
Spider-Man Homecoming.
I feel like they tried to do it there because he had his like hench gang.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was like, this is too many people.
I think, and this will be a little bit of our Patreon discussion a little bit. I think that's what Spider-Man 3 is going to be. And I will give you my full theory on that over there. I think we will get the Sinister Six in the MCU.
Mm.
Because again, it's a way to make Spider-Man unique from other superhero movies. But those thoughts will be over on our Patreon. So
yeah.
I am Jason Fishbowl Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
No! I will dismiss the class as I blow through your headphones again. I was sitting here the entire time, Ashley.
Mm.
You did not see me.
Mm-mm.
Even though I was staring deep into your soul. You might want to get that dark magic checked out. I can see a bit of it in you. It must be the maple syrup. You're not talking to me because the show is over. That is how I know you're infected with dark magic! Citizens of Earth, listeners of Geek History Lesson, behold and beware. Class is dismissed.